team building and leadership development company that has the privilege of working with more than 160 collegiate and professional athletic teams and corporations throughout North America annually. Welcome to our On the Tack podcast, where our most senior program leadership instructors draw from years of experience working with hundreds of clients and briefly share their powerful insights and thoughts on relevant team building and leadership development challenges. Today, I, Mac, and Sam, we're going to discuss the importance of setting the example, both as a great teammate and a great team leader. So first of all, Sam, great to see you. Great for the opportunity to talk to you today. Kind of what I wanted to talk about today, Sam, is just, again, kind of the importance of setting the example. And I know, having done this for 15 years now, you and 12 years myself, one of the phrases that we've heard parroted around the world constantly, right, is people talk about the importance of leading by example. And we really try to impress on people that that's just not a valid strategy, at least how it's understood today. Whereas too many people think today that they can just do the right thing, do their job, lead by example, and like magically snap your fingers, everyone else is going to fall in line and do the right thing too. And that's not a very effective strategy at all. Is that something that you've seen? Would you agree with that, Sam?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in today's atmosphere, right, that idea of taking care of yourself, doing the right thing, showing up on time, wearing the right uniform, working hard in practice, getting bigger, faster, stronger every chance you get, and then developing your talent to a level that underneath the lights, right, when the opponent, the enemy is out in front of us, we can go out and get the job done. In today's atmosphere, yeah, that's considered, being a leader, right, just doing your job. But the next step is, can you take care of yourself, but then still hold your teammates accountable, help and demand that they do the same type of things, right? Can they do that, reach that level of commitment so that their team has an opportunity, so that the team has an opportunity to compete for championships together, not just one person. So 100%. But I also think in today's atmosphere, the idea of holding someone accountable has been challenged because, you know, there's some uncomfortableness with it and people don't like to be, you know, called out. And as we both know, you know, we're not using the term call anyone out, but rather call someone up to a standard. So, yeah, I mean, it's a constant battle that we hear and that we're trying to solve.
The reason why I wanted to talk about this today, Sam, is that earlier this year I was at a football clinic. Right. They asked me to speak at this clinic and I did so. And then the next day, there was a presentation, and this was it was a high school football coaches clinic, and there were some legends in high school football. There was a lot of head coaches there. It was pretty well attended. So the next day there was a presentation. The speaker was a big time, very successful college football coach, and he gave a presentation, great presentation. But I noticed in the room, the first two rows were almost not empty. I mean, there was a couple coaches, but almost all the coaches were clustered towards the back in groups. Not only that, but then this big time successful, highly successful college football coach gave a great presentation and then asked for questions at the end. There were no questions. And I remember thinking at the time, like, if this were any of these individual coaches' programs, they'd be livid. These head coaches, they would be so upset if none of their athletes sat in the front row and if none of their athletes were focused, alert, responsive, dialed in, were asking questions at the end. But these coaches would all talk about the importance of leading by example. Way I look at it, you can't be a great leader, not even great. You can't even be a okay leader if you're not a great teammate. That's got to come first. You have to be a great teammate. And you can't be a great teammate without setting the example, right? So too often, and I don't know, you probably saw this in the military. A lot of times when, not a lot, I have seen it though, when people get to a certain level and they start thinking, well, they don't need to do the little things anymore. Now they're special, right? They don't need to set the example as much anymore, right? And I think that really injures their leadership. Is that something that you saw either in the military or you've seen on teams that you've worked with?
Oh, 100%. I mean, you know, you get to a certain level, you gain a certain level of respect, you get a title, all these little things that increase your influence. And then you let that influence go to your head and you don't think that those little things are important or, you know, I've already paid my dues. You know, I've already done that, been there. You get that type of attitude. Yeah, and it's a breakdown. You know, ultimately, it comes a breakdown in accountability is really what it comes down to. A breakdown in self-accountability, and then a breakdown in team accountability. Because how can you hold someone accountable if you're not doing the same things that you're challenging them to do as well?
Absolutely not. Now, we used to say in the Marine Corps, don't ever expect your Marines to do something that you're not willing to do yourself. And that's the way I looked at it. As a leader, I wasn't the fastest runner. I wasn't the best shooter. Maybe I wasn't even the best in shape, but I was pretty good at all those things. And I would never expect my Marines to wake up early and go for a run if I wasn't willing to do that with them. Now, I wasn't the first guy through the stack. I wasn't the first guy in the stack going through the door a lot of times. That's tactically, that's not a good idea for the leader to be. It's not a good place for him to be. But I had to know my Marines had to know that I was willing to do that. I was willing to be the first guy in the hole. There are some times when I had to lead from the front in order that I had to show my Marines that not only my rank and my collar might have designated me in the Marine Corps as a leader, but I had to make sure that I was a great teammate first. Is that something that you saw, good or bad, in the military?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, very similar to you, because of our leadership positions, right? Where we had to position ourselves in the actual tactical end of it may have been different than what we wanted, but in the preparation phase is where I can really set the example as a teammate and team leader, right? So, like you said, in the preparation phase, always being the first one out on the run, pushing myself that I was in the top three to finish every run. In training scenarios, be the first one through the door. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that I had to actually do that in theater or in combat or on a live mission, but I could set the example in the preparation phase so that, you know, my soldiers knew that, again, I wasn't going to ask them to do something I wasn't willing to do myself. So I think you can really set the example in the preparation phase from a teammate perspective that's going to lead into your, you know, your leadership.
Do you have any examples? You don't have to name names, but do you have any examples you can think of leaders that didn't do that the right way? Leaders that didn't set a personal example?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we had, you know, I hate always talking about, you know, enlisted versus commission, but I had a second lieutenant that had a psychology degree. I mean, he had more degrees than you can throw a ball at, but, and he was a smart cat. He was a super type A guy, super fit. But again, he just was at such a level that he thought that he was beyond some of the things that he had to do. So he was very quick to give orders, you know, dole out roles and responsibilities, but never follow through, you know, by setting the example on what he needed to do. Really quick to, you know, kind of that old sort of picture of a, you know, a leader behind the pack, you know, cracking the whip from the back. He was that type of guy, never leader from the front, pulling everyone ahead of him.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that in the military. I see it in the athletic side, frankly, a lot, even today, you know, see that a lot too, where you get coaches that will demand that their athletes are physically fit, that they get outside their comforts, all those good things. Meanwhile, they eat terribly. Right. And they haven't touched a gym or anything, done any cardio in years at the time. Now, again, we don't expect our people, our Marines, to do anything that we wouldn't do ourselves. In my mind, there's no expectation for a football coach in his 60s, right, to be able to be running gassers and doing hang power cleans. However, you got to find a way to set the example, right? There's no way that you can expect your athletes to be disciplined with their nutrition, to not drink, to do all the things they need to do, if you're setting a bad example yourself. Again, that doesn't mean you need to be doing the same things that 18-year-olds are, right? But you need to find a way, you need to show them that you're willing to get outside your comfort zone too. You're willing to go without drinking. You're willing to make some intelligent decisions with your nutrition. And even if, again, you're not running sidelines, you're not running gassers, yeah, your people still see you, whether it's going for walks or doing cardio or something, finding some way to get outside your comfort zone. So that way you're not just setting a crappy example. You're not expecting them to do something that you wouldn't do yourself. Does that ring true, Sam?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's so many football. I mean, let's just use football as the example. There's so many football coaches that do that show up to meetings on time, that have notebooks, yep, that are, you know, you see them in between practices on the treadmill or getting their workouts in. So you see it so often, but then when you see those coaches that don't, that show up to meetings late, don't have notebooks, that look like they just rolled out of bed, to me, it just so glaring that they're just not the right fit, right? And then how are you then an hour later going to start, you know, demanding more of your athletes? But for the most part, yeah, there's so many coaches that do set the example, that do the right thing, that are, you know, great examples of what it means to be a great teammate. But then those ones that just kind of just try to get by, it's just so glaring to me.
Mm-hmm. You know, Sam, you made me think of something, right? Speaking about football coaches, you know, a guy that I thought set a great example. Sam, were you at Kansas State football?
No, I was not. 6 or 7 weeks ago?
No, you weren't there. Right. So their coach, a guy named Bill Snyder, who's one of the he's one of the legends of college football. Right. And he's I think he was in his late 70s at the time. And yeah, he's not getting under the squat bar. Right. He's not pulling heavy deadlifts. But we're in Manhattan, Kansas. I think it was like August. It's probably about 100 degrees. The sun was beating down on us. Coach Snyder is wearing a 3-piece suit. And he's standing in the sun. He could have sat in the shade, right? He's earned it. He's one of the greatest college football coaches in history. He's probably earned the right to go sit in the shade and drink water. Nope. He was standing out in the heat of the sun, heat of the midday sun. He didn't even unloosen his tie, right? He stood there the whole time, right, in the baking heat while his guys got after it. Now that, to me, that's a guy that I want to go to battle with, right? Because that's a guy that I know he will set the example.
Yeah, absolutely. With I think, you know, with setting the example, I also believe it has to do with the standards that we hold each other to, right? If we lower the standards, then people feel that setting the example is not that important. I mean, look at basketball, for instance. Pre-COVID, basketball coaches would get dressed up, you know, suit, tie, you know, women wore dresses. It was kind of like a rite of passage. It's game day, and, you know, they put on a dressy outfit, right? It was kind of, hey, it's game time, and it's kind of the look. And then COVID happens, and somehow someone lowers the standard, and we wear sweatpants and our, you know, warm-up suits to games now. Well, now, right, every coach wears, you know, again, I don't know that that's the right answer of what you wear to a game, but it did look professional on the sideline when a coach is dressed up, right? But then that same coach during the season will complain about the dress attire of his or her team, or, you know, that they don't wear their uniform the right way. Right. And it just goes back to me, like, well, we lower the standard and then we try to uphold a standard. But if you're not the person setting the example, how can you ever hold the standard?
Sure. Sam, in your opinion, what happens? What have you seen when somebody tries to hold another teammate accountable, but they don't set the example? Right. So, you know, you get an athlete who tells their teammates that they have to be on time when they're never on time, right? Have you seen that? And does it
work? Yeah, I mean, it's like it's random Tuesdays at 2 o'clock, right? Like, you know, guy or girl is habitually late, you know, never works hard, never gives 100%, and then some random Tuesday at 2 o'clock, she decides to hold or he decides to hold someone accountable, right? And what that person that they're holding accountable reaction is like, wait a minute, what? It just doesn't go anywhere, right? And then friction starts, then there's some conflict because, you know, why are you holding me accountable? There's a reaction. But the truth is, if you're the type of teammate that comes in every single day and sets the example, you've earned the right to hold your teammates accountable. And if you're not doing it, you're only hurting the culture of accountability that we're trying to build on an organization. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, your work ethic, your reliability speaks for itself. So it's either built, you're either building it or losing it, one or the other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've seen a resistance to accountability too from athletes where they feel like, well, because they're not perfect, right, that they've lost the right to hold people accountable. You know, for example, they were late to a meeting their sophomore year and now they're seniors, but they don't feel comfortable holding other people accountable, calling up to the standard. In my mind, yeah, that's wrong, right? Because none of us are perfect, right? So there's been times even at the program. Yeah, I've been late a couple times, I guess, right? But that doesn't mean that I can't call my other teammates up to the standard, because as long as you guys know that I'm giving every effort, right? I'm giving 100%, right? Trying to make sure that I'm disciplined every day. And if I'm not, right, I trust you all, right, to call me up to that standard. So I think the pursuit for perfection, right, that's just unrealistic. It's not going to happen. But I've also seen teammates, right? We see this a lot, right, during our events where teammates, they'll try to do the right thing and they'll try to call their teammates up to the standard, but they don't, but at the cost of them doing their own job, right? Meaning we see that on the field sometimes, or, you know, on the court, where maybe athletes are so concerned with everything else that now they're not making shots. Or we'll see it in the pool during our events where athletes are so worried about helping their teammates out with a sweatshirt that they're not doing their own job, right? So setting the example, right, that has to come first, right? You have to be able to do your job regardless of what battlefield we're on. Do you agree with that?
Yep. And then not only do your job, but then there's a time and a place on how you're going to hold, you know, that person or that teammate accountable, right? So yeah, it always starts with you being able to do your job at a high level, and then taking that next step. But that next step, sometimes it has some timing to it. You know, for example, when you talk about the deep end of the pool, you know, sometimes in the actual fight of it, of dealing with the sweatshirts, right, may not be the best time to try to hold someone accountable, right? We got to support that teammate that needs help, and we got to get over to them. But it's in the timeouts, it's in the breaks in between the training evolutions that we can hold those people accountable. Sometimes I think you're right. We try to do it in the heat of battle, and we just kind of miss the moment. There's too much going on. I start forgetting about what I have to do, more worried about what you have to do. So understanding the timing of it, I think, is a big piece of accountability as well.
Yeah. Sam, you know, that I was talking earlier about that clinic that I went to. So the it's 2 days. The first night I gave a presentation on being a great leader, being a great teammate, talked about all these issues, right? And I talked at length about how ineffective purely just leading by example is, meaning the people that just do their job, do the stuff we're talking about, and then it just ends there. They don't say anything to their teammates to their left or right. Talked about how ineffective that was. Then after me, they had a bunch of legends of the high school football community, right, get up, and they kind of did a panel. And one of the questions to them was, they asked a couple of the coaches, what was the one thing that a young coach could do to be successful? And all the coaches agreed that leading by example was the number one. So apparently my presentation wasn't as impactful as I thought. However, what they're talking about, leading by example, Sam, I think that's exactly what you and I are talking about today. Absolutely. If you want to be a great leader, right, you have to set the example first and foremost, because you have to be a great teammate. It all starts with that. If you don't set the example, if you don't take care of your own house, you can't hold anyone else accountable, right? And if you can't be a great teammate, then you can't be a great leader. So it all starts with setting the example. So there's some teams that we work with and some athletes where, yeah, we recognize that, hey, maybe some younger athletes, maybe they have some leadership characteristics, some leadership potential, but a lot of times our feedback is they have to be a great teammate first. They have to prove to their teammates that they can be a great teammate before they have the influence to lead. Is that something that you see on teams?
I mean, absolutely, right? One can't come before the other. So that continuous effort, that continuous development of being a great teammate will eventually lead you to an opportunity to become a team leader. But it's that continuous growth effort from the teammate side that it's got to start first. If anyone thinks they can just step into a leadership role without having been a great teammate, they're fooling themselves, right? Or organization isn't built the right way. I think one of the things that we get hung up on from a teammate perspective with setting the example, holding people accountable, I believe is that we get hung up, or at least young athletes get hung up on consequences. Okay, well, I hold this person accountable. What's the consequence? What's the consequence? Like, don't worry about the consequence. Let coaches deal with the consequences. Just deal with, uphold the standard. Like, make that your main effort. Uphold the standard, set the example, and hold people accountable to the standard that we agreed on as an organization or as a team, and let coaches, you know, deal with consequences. So sometimes, yeah, I think there's just things that get confused with, you know, we talk about accountability and setting the example, and you know, there's just things that get in the way.
Yep. I mean, that's a great point, Sam. And we've seen that a couple times with a couple teams this season that have kind of gotten some trouble where, first of all, the way we look at it, if we're going to be successful, we need both goals and standards. We've talked about this in past podcasts, right? The way we look at it, though, is goals, those are performance-based. Those are things that we want to do, right? On the court, on the ice, on the field, right? Could be a three-point shooting percentage or a defensive statistic. those, some of those goals, they rely on talents. And when we don't meet one of those goals, we're just going to reattack it. We're going to figure out why. We're going to go back to the drawing board. We're going to tweak our technique or strategy or something else. We're going to reattack that. But standards are behavioral based. They don't require any talent. Anyone could be punctual if that's one of your standards. Anyone can live up to our standards of the program, right? If they choose to be adhere to our core values, selfless, tough, and discipline. But failing to meet a standard, that carries a consequence. Meaning, if an athlete fails to meet a goal, I'm not going to hold them accountable because, well, there's a lot of things outside of our control, right, when it comes to that performance-based goal. But if one of my teammates doesn't meet one of our standards, there's going to be a consequence. I'm going to hold them accountable. But to your point, athletes or members of the organization have nothing to do with that consequence, right? We've seen that in a couple programs this year where, and, you know, all I know is about what I read in the press, but at times it seems like in some programs, well, athletes kind of confuse that and they kind of take things into their own hands. That always leads down a bad road, right? When you've got athletes on your team imposing their own consequences. Well, hey, Sam, meet me at the gym at 5 a.m. tomorrow and do this. No, sometimes accountability, it's just that. If an athlete doesn't meet the standard, I'm going to call them up to the standard. I'm going to help make them better, right? But we have no input, right, on the actual, on the consequences themselves. So Sam, before I close this out here, any final points on kind of the importance of setting the example or anything else you want to add?
You know, I think one of the challenges that young athletes face is, you know, we understand, I think athletes do a great job of understanding what the standards are for the teams they represent or the organizations that they play for. But there's these things outside of it that fog us, that cause some confusion, some fog. And most of that is stress, adversity, you know, the noise, social media, all of those things just kind of get in the way of us coming in. I mean, the great thing about athletics is, you know, we'll just use basketball for an example. You come into practice at 2 p.m. and from 2 to, you know, call it 5:30. Like, you just get to be a hooper. You just get to play basketball. You get to practice what you love, be with your teammates. Things that are happening on the outside, you know, they don't go away, but they just don't matter for those 2.5 hours, right? So you can really focus on coming in and setting the example, holding each other accountable. And that doesn't have to be a chore, right? I mean, challenging each other, demanding more of each other, that could be fun if you're in the right state of mind, if you're present where your feet are. But I think, as we talk about setting the example and just being a great teammate, there's all these other outside influences that just affect young athletes. And that's just the society that we live in today. But if you can really shut out those outside influences, that noise, just for those 2.5 hours, right? Just truly be where your feet are. Understand that what your organization is trying to do is compete for a championship at some level. Being a great teammate is pretty easy then, right? Being a leader is always challenging, but if we actually embrace those moments and just be present where we are, all the things that we teach at the program, being a great teammate and great team leader, they just become less challenging. But I think we let the outside noise and focus and adversity just kind of overwhelm us sometimes, and we lose sight of how simple it really is.
Yeah, 100%, Sam. So way we look at it, leaders have two standards that they have to meet or exceed on a consistent basis: accomplish the mission, right, and take care of our people. However, those are additional standards because everyone in the organization, I don't care if it's military, corporate, athletic, everyone has to be a great teammate. Before you can ever be a great leader, and even while you're a great leader, you have to be a great teammate. Great teammates set the example and hold each other accountable. And it has to be done that in that order, right? We want to talk about a culture of accountability, but until we get everyone in our program setting the example for each other, right? Showing up on time, doing their jobs, giving 100%, right, in the weight room, doing all those things, until everyone can set the example, right, we can't move on from there, right? We can't have a culture of accountability. We can't have great leaders unless we have great teammates first. The program and this podcast mission is to develop great teammates and leaders to create world-class teams. We hope we have done so. For more in-depth conversations, check out the program podcast and gain unparalleled insight into team cohesion, leadership development, and personal growth with program CEO and founder Eric Kapitulik, as he speaks with corporate leaders, professional athletes, coaches, and authors. Our book, The Program, Lessons from Elite Military Units for Creating and Sustaining High-Performance Leaders and Teams, can be found at Barnes & Noble and Amazon. to sign up to receive our monthly letter on leadership or to learn more about the program and our leadership development and team building services for your own team, go to theprogram.org. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at The Program, and on LinkedIn at the-program-LLC. Finally, make sure you can follow us on every platform you have. Thank you, and attack.